Jason, quick
you
question.
You are one of one.
Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year.
Help me understand a little bit more clearly what you're asking.
Did you ever hear it called Don't Go Jason Waterfalls?
Is this Matt Hamilton?
So I kind of just thought of this question on the spot. So it needs to be workshopped a little. I'm not going to lie.
That's famous Matt.
Jason Wilde is on Jim, Matt, and Molly.
Oh, snap! What's up with that? What's up with that?
We are thrilled to be joined by Jason Wilde. I'm Jim Rutledge. He's Matt Hamilton. Primetime Wollershine behind the glass in the Everlight Solar Studio, presented by Coors Light. And Jason, I'm sure you're aware of this because there's been a lot of internal information about it, but Molly Brown officially on maternity leave after a healthy baby boy and girl joining the Brown family. So, Jason, the first question we have for you, though, is in 2025, who will miss more time, Molly Brown on maternity leave or Matt Hamilton on maternity leave?
Jesse Nelson. I got to take that back because all credit to Jesse. I don't know why I'm not on the group text from the ESPN Madison team. I assume it's just an oversight.
We talk a lot of trash about you on it, so that's actually
Well, if Jesse's on it though, you must have a separate one then without him on it. But,
yes.
He was the one who broke the news to me this morning. He's not a detail guy. Like, I was wondering, did she have twin boys and did she name them Jim and Matt? Did she have twin girls and perhaps go, you know, with Madison and Sydney, which I recommend is a really good combination?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did she get end up with one of each? And it sounds like that's exactly what she wound up with, was one of each. Are the names public or are they private, like celebrities might do?
We haven't cleared it, so we're going to let Molly, she's going to join the show sometime this week, so we'll give her that joy of being able to reveal her baby's name. But it's one boy, one girl, both healthy. One was, I think, 6 pounds. One was 4 pounds. My wife asked all these questions, and Molly put them all in the text.
Yeah.
Now, Jesse, here's my favorite part. Or not Jesse. Jason, my favorite part is that we beat Jesse Nelson.
They'll hang up right now.
Yeah. We beat Jesse Nelson, so I wanted to ask, I don't think there's any, I guess Jesse would be the one on your show group there, like a show text of having a baby. Molly told the show, we got the text at 2 o'clock. Jesse Nelson got his around 4-something. We got the fresh baby pics. Like, they're not in their little onesies and everything. They are freshly born babies. And then the team found out a full day later. So the team found out in the group text Sunday night. Jesse Nelson found out Saturday around 5 o'clock. But we're thrilled and honored that the Jim, Matt, and Molly text chain, we found out at 1:58. So what do you think the order would be on the Wilde and Tausch timeline if Jesse ever, you know, expands his family?
So I see that I have an email from our fearless leader, Ben Wittes, at 12:45 today. So that was after Jesse had informed us off the air during the show, but I do see, and they are as cute as can be. So
yes,
congratulations to everyone. I'm glad mom and babies are all healthy and happy. So that's awesome. First of all, Jesse Nelson, I feel like if it would have to be him, because I think Tausch and I are done. Although those commercials about adoption that I keep seeing whenever I watch something on demand, they do get to me. Like, I kind of feel like, you know, we're really fortunate, and if the girls eventually, when they're off to college or something, that would not be something that I would completely rule out. Although I think newborns would be a bit much for an old man like myself. But be that as it may, the thing about Jesse, as we all know, is Jesse's mostly about Jesse.
True. Mm-hmm.
So I would assume what we would get would not be birth weights or even names. All we would get was what an incredible inconvenience or struggle it had been for him, for his children or child to arrive. You know, like, oh, I'm just so exhausted. It was such hard work holding Becca's hand or whatever it would be. I feel like that's what we would get from our
Probably ask you for send him some diapers or something
for him.
Yeah.
He would certainly do like a GoFundMe or something.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's fair. Jason, I was shocked as you were to hear that like Matt and Jim weren't the names they chose for the boy. So I was pretty upset by that.
Disappointed.
Yeah, I mean,
I can understand that.
When she is on, I'll let her have it. Are we going to get into Packers stuff now?
Go ahead.
So I've been hearing
unless
a little.
Unless you have more baby news that you're trying to. Do you have anything you'd like to announce?
Nope. No baby news coming out of my camp yet. So that's That's something. Jason, on the Packers front, I've been hearing rumors that this Thursday night game is the NFC North championship game.
Rumors? What do you mean rumors? That's not the right word.
I've been hearing it through the grapevine, you know what I mean?
You've been listening to the show.
Okay, fine. I've been an avid fan, longtime listener. Yeah, what do you think of that? What do you think of that take by Mr. Tausch?
Well, so I don't want to misquote him because he gets really irritated with me when I do. But I think it's the NFC North Championship game for the Packers, right?
Like, yes.
If they lose, they are out of the running to win the division. And while they may win and still not win the division, right? That's
right.
Certainly a possibility. To have any chance at all, they have to win the game first. And so, you know, when I look at this game, you know, I personally think it's because I always like to look at, well, which team needs it more? That always tends to be the thought process that I have. And in this one, I mean, I guess you could argue that the Packers need it more to be able to stay alive for a chance to win the division. But I think moreover, the Lions really need this because with the number of injuries they're dealing with and where they're at in terms of, you know, I think needing to play or wanting certainly to play their all their playoff games at home, for example. Like, I think this is a really big game for them. Like, even though they won the first meeting and whatever other reasons you might have for downplaying it from their perspective, like, they definitely do not want to have to leave Ford Field. Their quarterback, no matter how much he tries to deny it, has a poor track record in cold weather. So they have every reason to treat this like a de facto NFC North championship game, too. So, you know, I don't think just because the Packers lost the meeting at Lambeau or that they needed to stay alive in the divisional chase, I don't think that they get to claim that they need it more than the Lions do. I think the Lions at 11-1, you know, they're only one game ahead of Philly at 10-2, only one game ahead of the Vikings at 10-2, and only two games ahead of the Packers. Like, with five to play, including Thursday night, like, they don't have the room for error if they want to get the number one seed, get the bye, which would be huge for them to get healthier with all their injuries. So I think this is, you know, they're emptying the bucket for this. They're not. I can't imagine they're taking this lightly.
Yeah, and I think there's also, if you know, saw each other in the playoffs
or whatever.
So would you
say yes, it is a championship game?
Well, no, because it like
they both kind of need it,
but that doesn't.
That's what he's getting at. It's like
right,
that's
but the
two different championships.
Right. No, you're right.
And I would say that it's a real championship game when, say, in 2013, the Packers miraculously, with the help of the Bears, stay afloat in the division race, so Rodgers can return from the broken collarbone for the regular season finale. And it is literally win or go home. Win, and sure, you're in the playoffs, and you win the division. Lose, and you're the Bears. And that's exactly what happened in that game with the three fourth down conversions, including the touchdown to Cobb, which still ranks, in terms of an actual moment that I've covered, probably the most incredible moments of my career. Over Super Bowl plays, over... Like, the game that I hold at number one, just because, not just because of how he played, but more importantly, how the guys played around him, is Favre in Oakland in 2003.
Yeah.
but for a singular play as part of a bigger drive that is still miraculous to me, it's the NFC North Championship in Chicago at Soldier Field at the end of the 13th season.
Yeah, I will never forget that one either. That one's one of my all-times.
I don't know what you guys are talking about. I don't have a
don't remember that game at all.
I don't.
Not, no idea.
Goldfish, Mark Trestman, Jim.
Was that the Trestman era?
Yeah, I don't. That was blocked out. It's all basically not Lovie Smith era.
Be a goldfish,
basically, Jim. What I would call it. The Bears decided to fire Lovie Smith after winning 10 games, and it's been bad since. Yeah, so I just call it the not Lovie Smith era is what my going forward on that is. But with this Detroit game, is there like a psychological advantage? If Detroit wins this, that means they will have won the division most likely against the Packers. They've won 3 out of 4 against the Packers. They ended the Packers season 2 years ago. There's kind of more of a swagger that I think Detroit kind of thrives on if they can take this game. And on the flip side, the Packers then feel like, hey, we can beat a playoff team, which they haven't done yet. I don't know if Houston's in or not, but like, hey, we can go on the road and beat a good team. So there's a psychological part for both teams into this as well.
Yeah, and look, I the Packers have been pretty good on the road. Obviously, they went into Detroit last year on Thanksgiving and won. I don't think that they're intimidated. I don't think that they're scared. But I also think that there's a lot of people that are looking at the injury report for the Lions and, like, giving them up for dead. And I just don't – I don't think you can look at a team like them in that way. I just think that there's way too much – talent. And look, the Packers did make it, and I get it. Packers made it look easy last Thanksgiving, man. Like, they went in there that first play of the game over the top to Watson. Like, they took it to them. They were fearless, and they were a team that was starting to kind of coalesce and get their act together, but certainly they weren't where they were, you know, by the end of the season. Now, if my memory serves me, they go in there on Thanksgiving. I think they were 4-6 going into the game. They'd won that Chargers game where the Chargers couldn't catch a cold. And then they go in and win on Thanksgiving. And then they go and they beat the Chiefs the following week, right? And so then they started to kind of put together their run. The difference here is they're kind of on their run now. I mean, they've won 7 of their last 8. The only one they've lost was the one to the Lions. And I think we can all agree that they rang up 411 yards. Their quarterback was playing with a groin injury. He clearly wasn't on top of his game, hadn't practiced most of the week. So I don't know if that was an accurate depiction of where these teams are at. But again, that, you know, it's been a while since I've been to Detroit. But that place, especially when the Lions are unexpectedly, or in this case, expectedly good, it's really loud. And the Packers claim that they're not going to be fazed by it, and they pumped in the crowd noise into the Hudson Center all week. But they have not faced really that hostile of a loud crowd. The most that they had was against Jim's team, the Bears, at Soldier Field. And certainly those fans got into the game after the Swift touchdown and everything else. But that's not a dome.
Nope.
It's different. And so, you know, you look at their Jacksonville road game, you look at their L.A. road game against the Rams. Like, those stadiums were basically split. Like, I think the Rams had to go with a silent count at one point in their game. and that won't be the case, obviously, in Detroit.
No, it won't. That's always a tough environment to play in. Have you had a chance to, like, talk to any players or coaches yet this week, or is that still off limits to reporters?
No, I have, and now it's all over. So it's such a weird week. So we got – so let's see. Today was Tuesday, right? But it was like a Friday.
Right.
Yesterday was like a Thursday, and Sunday was like a Wednesday. So we had Sunday, Monday, Tuesday this week where we had access to the players, talk to – a bunch of coaches, talked to Josh Jacobs today. Who were you hoping that I spoke with, man?
Well, it was more of like, was there any like theme that you got from the like these guys, like whether what they want to focus on, whether it's on their own team or the Lions? Like, is there any sort of like common thing that seemed like it was what they were talking about in the locker room, so to speak?
Yeah, I think if I were to pick out a theme, it would be that they feel like they're not the team that lost to these guys a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, Love did not look like himself. He's hobbling around. He didn't have the mobility. He didn't have the confidence to step into throws. Their defense is obviously... Their defense played pretty darn well. Now, that was also, if I remember, a rainy night or a rainy afternoon at Lambeau. So I think that impacted the quality of play. And again, these guys, I mean, the Lions are at home. They're legit.
Right.
And so the conditions will be different. But, you know, they've kind of figured out their run defense to some degree, and they feel good about that. They've certainly liked what they've gotten from their own run game with Josh Jacobs just continuing to pound opponents into submission. So I think they feel real. If there's a theme, it's that they feel really good about this matchup, regardless of how the first matchup went at Lambeau a month ago.
That pumps me up. Thanks, Jason.
Well, that's what they needed. It pumped
that's
up Matt
I'm
Hamilton.
Here.
Yeah, to be able
really
to win
why
that
I'm
game.
Here.
Yeah, it can't hurt.
So, question that I think make funny for this. Like, I mean, do you think Detroit's the same team? I mean, I know they're more injured. Do you think they're excited? They have a better, they have an elite coaching staff. They're playing at home.
Don't care.
Okay. So it's only, just, I wanted to be sure on it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
I should know if you like balancing out by listening to Detroit Sports Talk Radio.
Like to. I'd rather just be excited and live in my echo chamber.
Okay.
I'm not here to make Matt feel better, but I think if we're being honest, they aren't the same team.
No, they're not.
I mean, they don't have Aiden Hutchinson.
That's a big hit.
Look, they still have good players. Don't get me wrong.
They still have a lot of their key players, especially on the offensive side.
On defense, they are banged up in a big way. Now, here's the other reason why I said it was so important for them, though, to go back to the bye. You know, that would be if they can get, because remember, because the NFL is greedy, they now have seven teams in each conference. Make the playoffs, and only one team now gets a bye instead of how it used to be two.
Mm-hmm.
That bye for this specific team with the injuries to Anzalone and the corner that they Davis, I think his name is, that it might not play this week. Taylor Decker, their tackle, who might not play. All those guys, if other than Hutchinson, who's done for the year, and Rodriguez, the linebacker, who's done for the year. Other than that, I think most of the guys that are injured, they view as potentially coming back for the last game or two or for the playoffs. And so if you can get a week of a bye when no one else gets one, A, you can't lose, right?
Yep.
Like, that's the most important thing about the bye week is you can't have the Packers come into AT&T Stadium and kick your ass like Mike McCarthy endured last year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you get the bye, that you've already advanced the divisional round. So you avoid that potential trap. And then on top of that, you have all that time to get a really banged-up team healthy. But right now, this game on Thursday, the Lions are not the same team. They have the same quarterback. They have a bunch of great pass catchers and two really good running backs and a really, really good offensive line. So my only thing is, if this game has to be a shootout, can the Packers keep up? They certainly have been way better in the red zone the last three games. They're 11 of their last 15 on scoring touchdowns inside the Bears, 49ers, and Dolphins 20-yard lines, after being at like 47% going into the Bears game. So can they keep putting up points if they have to do that? And can the Packers defense at least mitigate how explosive the Lions can be at home? Because they certainly did a good job of it with the help of the weather at Lambeau. So, look, this is... I will be very surprised if this game does not live up to its advanced billing. Like, this is a really good Thursday night game. And by the way, it's unique to this year's schedule because it's not two teams that played on Sunday and then have to play again on Thursday. While they still did not get a full week because they went Sunday, Thursday, and now they're going to another Thursday, they do have a full week of practice, even if they haven't had mini bye to catch up. So you would think that instead of playing on short days rest, at least they have this much time, that the quality of play would be even higher than it normally is on a Thursday night.
Over-under is 51.5.
I love that we all forget about the Vikings, because if you were going to pick a de facto NFC Championship game, it might be the Lions and the Vikings January 5th last game of the year.
Who?
Yeah, the team that's in front of you. I forget about them.
No, not you, Jason, but yes, yes.
I did.
But Tausch definitely has pooped.
Yes, and so does Matt.
And they just keep – and look, I'm not saying that they're going to win the Super Bowl. Okay, I don't believe that to be the case, although that would be a hell of a story. It would be even more of a story, not for Packers fans, but if it was the Lions and the Vikings in the NFC Championship game.
Oh,
given
that'd make me sick to my stomach.
Well, I mean, you consider yourself blessed, though, right? Because think about it.
Yeah.
Like, the Lions have never played in a Super Bowl, right? Their last championship is 57, and the Vikings have lost four Super Bowls way back in, like, the Bud Grant era, right? But or three Super Bowls. All I know is they don't have a Super Bowl title. Mm-hmm. And they have some of the, like, Packers fans who complain about 4th-and-26 in Seattle and that's certainly valid. But, you know, if you have some Viking fan friends, you know, 98 NFC Championship game at home, and Gary Anderson, who hasn't missed a kick all year, misses the last kick of the season and they lose and they don't go to Super Bowl 32 or 33. The year that they like went to the Giants and got like beat like 41-0 in the NFC Championship game. The year they had the Minneapolis Miracle and then lose the following week to the Eagles. Like those would be two long suffering franchises that we probably don't appreciate how long they've suffered, because A, we have Jim on the panel who suffered as a Bears fan,
yeah.
And B, I've covered the Packers and you've been a Packers fan, and while they have had their share of heartbreak, they've also had Super Bowl titles interspersed in there during that heartbreak, something neither of those two organizations have had.
It's true.
Jason, awesome stuff. We appreciate it.
All right, guys. I hope that it's not too late, and maybe Molly can the boy girl combination. I know makes it tough. Maybe Matthias and Jamina or something.
Yeah.
You know, if they're not completely committed, but again, James, congratulations.
Yeah, there you go, James and Maddie. Maddie,
perfect.
Yeah,
yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
I just, in all seriousness, she's so great, and we all obviously love her. I just think it's I don't want to make too many jokes about names, because it's really awesome that they arrived healthy and happy. I was starting to wonder how long it would be, because I have never been pregnant. I just look like I am, but having been married to someone who has been through it twice, it ain't easy. So God bless her, and you guys, your show's still great even without her, but I look forward to her return.
We do too.
Thank you, Jason.
So do the listeners. All right, take care. Be good.
All right. Why Canopy Wealth Management? Their team is committed to provide care, competence, and clarity to help their clients with all their financial planning and wealth management needs. At Canopy, they have years of experience, which has prepared them to guide you through your life transitions. Go to canopy-wealth.com to get started on your financial journey today. That's canopy-wealth.com. We will do Don't Quote Me on the other side. This is Jim, Matt, and Molly, presented by Coors Light.